The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel on Voice America. Be sure to go to the drmelanieshow.com to view the products and businesses that I endorse and to read the most current newsletter. Be watching for a webinar that I'm going to do on April 14th for those who are recovering from a breakup of a long-term relationship. Do you feel ungrounded? Do you crave certain foods? Did you know that what you eat can affect your health in either a positive or negative manner? Today's episode can change the way you relate to food and help you understand how the color of food can correspond to different energy centers in the body. My guests today are Dr. Deanna Minnick, author of Chakra Foods for Optimum Health, and a woman named Natalie, who has successfully used Dr. Minnick's techniques to help her with her own eating issues. Let's listen to the interview with Dr. Minnick. Well, we are fortunate today to have Dr. Deanna Minnick as my guest, and she's written a number of books, and I've only gotten to read two so far because they are jam-packed full of good information. So thank you, Dr. Minnick, for being willing to come on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Melanie. It's my pleasure. There's so much to share and to talk about today.
Yes, definitely. There is much to share. And I know that we won't get to all of it, but we'll do what we can do. So I want to focus today on the book Chakra Foods for Optimum Health. How'd you come up with that name?
Well, you know, the original title for this book that I had was Nutrition for the Soul, talking about the food connection to the spiritual connection. And the publisher really wanted to bring out the whole aspect of chakras. But, you know, we'll talk about what chakras are, but I don't really think it's about chakras as much as it's really about the symbolic aspects of our life and how eating and foods play into those seven different aspects.
Mm-hmm. I know and you know what the seven chakras are, but the listeners, many of them do not. So can you tell them what the seven are and where they're located?
Sure. So the name or the word chakra means spinning wheel, and this is an ancient Sanskrit term. It comes from the yogic Vedic tradition. So East India is really the origin of this whole chakra terminology and the whole paradigm of what the chakras represent. In modern day, looking at our Western world, what they really represent are the endocrine glands in the body. Hmm. So starting from the base of the spine, going all the way up into the brain, so these glands are all very interconnected, and they have physiological functions in the body as well as symbolic meaning. So starting from the bottom, we think about the testes, we think about the adrenals, mm-hmm. Which is really about the fight or flight and making our way within the world. Moving up from that, we have the ovaries, which are all about creativity. And moving up from that, we have the pancreas. And the pancreas is a major gland that many people have lots of issues with these days, especially with type 2 diabetes on the rise and metabolic syndrome. And that's really about transportation. Okay. When we move up into the heart, we have our thymus gland, and the thymus is very much interconnected to our system, keeping good boundaries on the body, and also being connected to the heart and the lungs. So in this area really represents love, being inspired, taking in the breath of life. The throat, many people will be familiar with this gland, the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland is the gland that really monitors our metabolism and a number of other things as well. But really, if we just think of it simply, it's the harnesser of how we extract energy from food and what we do with it in the body. And then up in the brain, we have right in the, if you imagine putting your finger, you know, going in towards the forehead and then meeting it on the side and see where those points intersect, right in the middle of the head, you'll get to the pituitary gland, which is the master gland of the body and really oversees all of the other endocrine glands that I just mentioned. So, and that one is really connected to a sense of wisdom, universal intelligence, and also the intuitive mind. There's also another little gland that's referred to, and it's nestled in the brain area with the pituitary, and it's the pineal gland. The pineal gland is connected to our sense of daily rhythm and is very responsive to the light that we see through our eyes. And so this center is often connected to the part of us that's really connected to light, connected to spirit, connected to all of life at a very high level, more of a vibrational level rather than a physical adrenal level like our low body is.
Okay.
So hopefully that gives a landscape. I mean, there are many other chakras and points of interest in the body, but these riding along the spine and going up into the head are pretty key. They're the bigger glands.
Okay, and I've heard chiropractors and such talk about the meridians. And
yeah,
how they intersect with the chakras. So,
okay,
so tell me about meridians.
That's a good question. So meridians, if we think of traditional Chinese medicine, they really do focus on the meridians or these neuroendocrine channels or energy channels that run through the body. And there is some intersection, of course, with the chakras, although the meridians tend to draw a path throughout the body, and the chakras are more localized centers. But still, there's a network that forms. And so it really doesn't matter which tradition you're coming from. I think that the important point to note is that we have this interconnected system within the body that speaks to all of us, to our cells, to our spirit, and it speaks to us on a physical level as well as a more symbolic spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in reading your book, I was surprised and pleased to see that each chakra has a color associated with it that also relates to foods. So can you explain about that?
Yes. The colors. Well, if we think of the starting from the base, as we spoke about with the adrenals, you know, the adrenal glands, if you think of them, are red, fleshy, triangular structures that sit on top of the kidneys. And what there are, really the energy of the adrenals is red. And think of the feeling that you get when I say the color red. You might think of something that's really active or aggressive or assertive or impactful or passionate. And these really are all kind of contained within that spectrum of the color red. The emotional color, if we think of the sacral chakra, the color of emotions is thought to, and this is raw emotion. This is kind of the childlike feeling of emotion, our inner child expressing, stomping her feet or jumping up for joy. That color tends to be a vibrant orange. Moving up into the axis, we have a bright yellow. We need that sunny energy to really to transform food. The heart energy is green. It's like cold green, like a forest green.
Not the heart really, of the Valentine, but green.
Yes. And, of course, there are, if you look a little bit deeper into the tradition, they also talk about color of the heart chakra. But green is kind of the general color of what we talk about when we talk about love and caring and sharing. Moving up into the throat, the color here is aquamarine.
Ah.
So it's kind of like a sky blue with a tinge of green.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving up into the third eye chakra, right there by that pituitary space, we have a deep indigo color. A deep indigo, which is really, again, representative of that deep wisdom. I almost think of like a nighttime sky with speckling stars. And then the pineal gland, thinking of our sense of spirit and our crown chakra, a lot of different colors here, and my sense is that that's more of a lavender white.
Hmm.
So it's almost devoid of color. It has a sense of purification, and it's a sense of clarity. It's like a diamond in our bodies, in our spirits.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do all these colors relate to the foods?
Yeah, well, the food, if we think about the different foods and the colors, the color themselves can feed those different aspects of our being. Why? Because color is simply a vibration. So that, and all of matter is really just vibrating energy. So a red food, let's just take like a cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to have a different vibration than would a floret of broccoli.
Mm.
So a cherry has, I mean, even if we look at the nutritional content of a cherry versus broccoli, they do some very different things in the body. And in fact, a cherry with its vitamin C content, it even has some natural pain-relieving substances, really high in certain phytochemicals that are good for the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the cherry, and that makes sense because the properties of the cherry really do resonate with the lower chakra, the root chakra, which is connected to the adrenals.
Oh.
The adrenals need that vitamin C. The adrenals need support from the immune system.
Mm-hmm. So it shows how our body is interconnected. One part needs the other
right.
part.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And then, aside from, if we think of color, that's definitely one aspect. So if we think of even purple foods, right, the blue-purple foods like the dark berries, the blueberries, the blackberries, the marion berries, these berries, they're very intense. They're jam-packed with a lot of different plant compounds that actually do help our brains. In fact, there's some research at Tufts University with Dr. James Joseph showing that blueberry compounds find their way in the body into certain parts of the brain that are responsible for learning and memory.
Hmm.
So there seems to be some gravitational pull of certain things from a color perspective, from foods that align with those energy centers in the body.
Oh, very interesting. I just never realized about the vibration that foods have. You know, does it matter
yeah.
whether something grows on a vine or grows in the ground?
It sure does. The vibration, and simply what that means is how slowly the particles within the food are moving versus how rapidly they're moving. So let's just take an example of a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So animal meat is going to have a very slow vibration. It's look at the density. It's very high in protein. It takes a long time for us to digest animal protein, certain animal proteins.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you take something like spinach, fresh leaf spinach, think of the quickness and the rapidity of the energy versus that piece of meat. You're going to have two completely different feelings after you eat those two foods. They
mm-hmm.
have two very different vibrations.
You're going to be well energized or tired.
Yeah, and depending on the person and the situation, sometimes meat might be warranted as medicine. You know, I don't see, in the system of food that I look at, I never cast out any foods because I look at them all in a very medicinal way that we can eat the energy we want to become.
Okay, well.
But you can imagine that, yeah.
I was going to say, this is wonderful, but we need to take a break right now.
I thought so.
Okay, hold on, please.
All right.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness. The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're listening to Dr. Deanna Minnick discuss our connection to food and our chakras. Let's hear the rest of that interview. Okay. We are back with Dr. Minnick, and we're talking about the chakras in relation to foods. And if your chakras are out of balance, it can affect you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you have a quiz in your book that I really like that help people to figure out which chakra is out of balance. So can you talk to our listeners about that quiz?
Sure. Yeah, when I was writing this book, Chakra Foods, I wanted to make sure that it was incredibly practical. I did not want to just make, just have an esoteric discourse on this whole new way of eating without really giving you any tools as a reader. So the book actually starts out with an explanation of the science and the spirituality of food and eating. And then after that goes into a questionnaire which has seven parts. And the seven parts correlate to each of the seven chakras. Mm-hmm. And so based on the scoring from the quiz, you can assess where most of your issues are based on the number that you get from every section. Mm-hmm. So the highest number would be the area that you'd want to focus on the most. And then from there, you can either go right to the chapter to address that particular chakra. Mm-hmm. And in the book as well, I also have menu plans. I have recipes that align to the chakras. I have an index of all the different foods and their properties, whether stimulatory or inhibitory on the chakras. So I go into that a little bit more in depth. So you can use this as kind of your go-to source to pick and choose information, or it can be a read-through book where you gather all of the information so that you have the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I do is I use a pendulum when I'm trying to see how my chakras are balanced or out of balance, and it has to go in a clockwise fashion. And what I found is in relation to your quiz, the things matched, that places where there were blockages or the energy was stopped or it was going in the opposite direction, that related to your quiz. So I was glad to see that.
That's great to see that parallel. Mm-hmm. You know, before I even published this questionnaire, I did a little study. I sent it out to a number of people and did a questionnaire, and I wanted to see, is there a chakra that many people have issues with? What is it? Mm-hmm. And when I got all these questionnaires back and I calculated, 85% of people had issues in particular with one chakra. Mm-hmm. And it's the solar plexus, which sits right there, under the diaphragm, right by the stomach, and nestled in between the liver and the pancreas.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I wasn't very surprised, to be quite honest. It was inflammatory when I saw it. And if you listen to, I've studied with Dr. Carolyn Mace, who's a medical intuitive, and in one of, I believe it was Anatomy of the Spirit, she talks about how we live the most from our solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're constantly taxing that energy. It's the energy, it's our seat of personal power. And I also see it as the seat of stress or balance. Are we putting out too much energy? Are we giving away all of our energy currency so that we find ourselves in a very stressful place? Or are we taking too much in? We're not saying no, and we're kind of infiltrating this this solar plexus chakra and bombarding it, and we're really changing up the energetics, which will change things like stomach function, mm-hmm. which will change liver function and pancreas. So what starts to happen? We might start to see things like bloating when we eat, kind of that distension in the stomach that feels really uncomfortable.
Yes.
Or we may get we may start to see things like we're not processing our blood sugar like we should. We may have issues with insulin. We may be developing type 2 diabetes or metabolic syndrome. So a lot of these issues, which are so prevalent today, are very much connected to what are we giving our power to? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we're not harnessing that on the inside. And that's why I tend to see people taking in sugar. They take in the sugar to replete that center, which feels really drained.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very quick fix because it'll give you that energy boost straight away, but then you start to fade.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Depending on the type of sugar. But for the most part, a low glycemic sugar will respond differently, but a high glycemic sugar will go in like a bolt of lightning, give you the punch, almost too much. And then you find yourself even lower than where you were before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I don't think people pay attention to what they're eating. They're busy doing other things.
They are. We're many times not in touch with our bodies. And I know that that's an odd thing to say because as part of our being, we are our bodies. But sometimes we are very disjointed. We're very fragmented. We're spacey, daydreamy. So we're not anchored fully into the present moment and really connecting to the vehicle that we have, our body.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, when we're not connected, when we are feeling ungrounded, we tend to eat in order to get that sense of feeling present, to mm-hmm. give us that physical sense of fullness. In fact, some people may tend to overeat because they're very ungrounded. So number one, they're not present in the moment of what they're eating, so they just tend to eat more. And then on another level, they may be eating more in order to get that sense of their bodies.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the danger with, you know, the under-eating, over-eating, and not being in touch. And, you know, many people have asked me if I can just recommend two things for people when it comes to eating. The first one is pay attention to your instinct. Pay mm-hmm. attention to your body. Form the dialogue. Eat on the floor. Put your feet down on the floor. Uncross your legs. Be completely present when you're eating. And when you go to the grocery store shopping, you know, don't work off that to-do list. You
uh-huh.
know, and I know that that's important, but be there in the moment of what your body needs, because whatever you bring back into your house, you're going to be eating. So you better be in tune with what your body needs when you're shopping so that you get all the things that will be nourishing to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was impressed that I have been really ill since October. And I couldn't understand why I was craving certain foods, but I would go get them because I needed live food, not processed food. So I was craving things like garlic and apples mm-hmm. and avocados. And then reading your book, I discovered, well, because that energy center needed that food in order to heal. So it made perfect
yeah.
sense.
Exactly. And based on the foods you described, I would say it would be probably something as it relates to immunity.
Yes, it
and,
was.
And the heart, you know, there's something with the heart there. So,
uh-huh.
yeah, it's fascinating. If we're really in tune like you were in your selection, we'll be connected to what we need in order to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, our best healer is inside of us. It is us. And if we listen to that voice, and it doesn't mean that if you get a craving for chocolate, or peanut butter, that you should just run away and go with those cravings. That's a little bit different. And that's not what I'm speaking to when I talk about sheer instinct and being in connection with the body.
Mm-hmm.
Those cravings come from a more dysfunctional place, so to speak. So many times those cravings, if they're repeating and they don't let you go, there's something deeper there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's trying to fulfill a physiological imbalance.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a psychological comfort or connection.
Yeah, something related to your past that might have been a food that helped you get through a traumatic time.
Yes. Like ice cream. Ice cream is a huge one for that purpose.
Uh-huh.
It's full of fat, it's full of sugar, and it's cold and numbing. And it's also, if it's from cow's milk, it also has that vibration of something nurturing. So tastes good, it's numbing, and it's nurturing. That's like the three things that people are really looking for when they're looking for that comfort, right? And
yes.
I've seen that repeatedly with people going to ice cream.
Well, I remember growing up, you know, pet milk, evaporated milk, came from contented cows.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And now we know from Grandin's work that that actually is important to have an animal that's going to slaughter to be calm. So there is some validity to that.
Right, right. Yeah, the energy, you know, the basic premise here is, if you take nothing else away from this call, but this phrase, I think it's powerful, and that is that we eat like we live, and we live like we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And if we eat the energy that we want to become and what we're connected to, I think we're in a fine spot. We don't need a diet book.
No.
We need to be in touch with our own internal healer.
Mm-hmm. Our body knows what it needs, but we have to learn to tune in to hear what
yes.
it's trying to tell us.
Yeah, and to clear away the noise. And sometimes what I think gets in the way of the instinct is the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
The intellect is tenacious, and that is also what sometimes robs us of our power. It can give us power and can give us brilliance and radiance, but too much intellect can also slice, dice, criticize, judge, and be very opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fall into this rut of perfectionism, and then we really can't make our way out of that.
Right. I like how you talk about, you know, we need to make eating an event, you know, to put the focus on it rather than it be something we're doing while we're doing something else. To take the time to sit down with people, to make it pleasing to look at, flavorful, and something that's going to nourish us and not just put us so over the top with sugar or caffeine that we are non-functional.
Yeah, you know, and look at it as, for those of you that are really stressed and you want to do multitasking functions, think of cooking and preparing a meal as meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as, you may not have time to meditate, that's fine, but think of your grocery shopping as meditation. I go grocery shopping Saturday nights. Why? Because it's deserted in the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And I have the produce all to myself, and I can sense what I need, and I can be much more in tune. Just like when I'm in the kitchen, really being in a meditative state, lighting a candle, putting that in the window, seeing my kitchen as my sanctuary, that is a very divine space. It's not just a functional space. It's whatever I choose it to be.
Okay. Well, what I need to be and to do right now is to let the listeners know how they can find your book and how they can find you.
Sure. The best way to find me would be to go to my website, which is foodandspirit.com. And the and is spelled out, A-N-D, foodandspirit.com. I also have a Facebook Food and Spirit page where I post quotes that are, I might say, provoking or just moving the status quo as we think about food.
Okay.
So that's also another place to find me. In the books, you can find them on Amazon. You can find them on my website. They're in bookstores, and I've got four of them, as you mentioned before.
Okay. Well, I would like to invite you to come back so we can talk about some of the other books. How about that?
Perfect. I'd love it. Thanks.
Right. Thank you so much, and I'm sure people are going to need to listen to this interview more than once. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Melanie.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. In the first half of the show, we listened to Dr. Deanna Minnick discuss our connection to food and our chakras. Now we're going to hear the interview that I did with a woman named Natalie, who successfully used Dr. Minnick's techniques. Let's listen. Well, we are fortunate today to have Natalie with us, who can tell us from her own personal experience how working with Dr. Minnick can be helpful. So thanks, Natalie, for being here.
Sure.
So what was the reason that you sought the services of Dr. Minnick?
I had done a lot of dieting over the years and was just struggling with losing weight and maintaining the weight loss, and I wanted to do some thing that was a little bit more spiritually based, mm-hmm. around, you know, it helped you figure out what your eating issues were more than just, you know, doing a diet.
Yes. So it involves some emotional kinds of things as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Had you tried other things, other kinds of treatments, not just diets, but other kinds of treatments before you worked with Dr. Minnick?
I had worked with another, he wasn't really a therapist, but more of a counselor type person. And it wasn't terribly effective. You know, we started out with that being, like, I wanted to talk about food issues, and then it led to other things, you know, more in my life, which everything's very interrelated, but it wasn't just real focused on food and food issues. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that effective.
Okay. But working with Dr. Minnick was effective.
It was, very effective. I mean, we focused 100% on food and talking about food, and it actually made a big impact in my relationship with food, actually.
Okay. How did you come across her? How did you find her?
At the time, I was working with a life coach and just talking to her about some personal goals that I had, and she referred me to Dr. Minnick.
Okay. So, for many people, when they have a successful kind of treatment, whatever program they're using, it's because they've had successes previous in their life with other things that they've done. Was that true in your life?
I was a life coach. I initially started working with her to focus on my career and make some changes in my career and how I was managing my career. And all the with her was coming more from a spiritually based perspective than here's the ABCs of how America, and it was really powerful and really effective for me. So that's why, you know, I wanted to do something that was more spiritually based around food.
Okay. When you started working with Dr. Minnick, was it difficult to change some of your behavioral patterns you had?
You know, she didn't have like this regimented process when we worked together. It was very fluid, and it was really tailored to what I wanted to do, what amount of time I had to spend. And so I'd say it was a process that over time I noticed things that were changing. You know, I was just open to her suggestions, mm-hmm. tried some of the things that she was suggesting to me, and I noticed that, you know, slowly I was changing, like my core beliefs around food were changing.
Mm-hmm. So it was a process.
Yeah, it was more of a process.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I have found in my own life that when I go to do something different, my attitude about it can make a huge difference whether it's successful or not. Would that be true for you?
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think it's both your attitude and then like your willingness to try something different than you have ever thought of trying before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in recovery circles, they say when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you're ready to make a change.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Until you've exhausted everything you know that didn't work, then you're ready to look for something else.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you find it was difficult or easy once you listened to what she had to offer to you? Did it make sense? Was it easy to accept?
You know what? It really was pretty effortless for me. Mm-hmm. So I was in the right place, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, to be very open to changes. And so it was pretty effortless working with her. And, like, I didn't have to do a whole ton of, a lot of, like, hard work. You know, like, diets can be hard work.
Yes.
And it wasn't like that. It was very, more of a reflective process and paying attention to how I felt. And making decisions from being grounded versus, you know, having a diet that gives you a prescription of things to eat and going that way.
So it was more to be aware of what you were feeling and doing when you were eating?
Yes, yes.
And did it take the guilt out of it? Because that's so much of what's involved in dieting is, and to me, diets aren't, they don't work. It's eating for life.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I went into going, I want to lose weight, and I want to figure out why I'm not losing weight and keeping it off. And what I really found going into it was that, you know, I had a lot of fears around food, and I was actually afraid of food because I've done every kind of diet there is. And every diet that you do tells you some kind of food that you can't eat. And if you've done all the diets that there are out there, there's pretty much nothing you can eat. You know, I think the only thing you can eat on every diet is plain old lettuce, you know, and that's not a sustainable thing. So I realized as I was working with her and studying her book, Chakra Foods for Optimum Health, that I had a lot of fears about food that were just crazy, you know, that were based on other people's opinions and not based on anything that was truthful. You know, like you can't eat a banana because they're high glycemic. You can't eat grapes, you know. I mean, stuff like that, that was just crazy. You shouldn't eat carrots, you know, because they have too much sugar in them, things like that. So as I started studying her book and understanding how food supports the different chakras, and then I started paying attention to when I would, you know, like beef is related to your root chakra, and I would notice when I ate beef, wow, I do feel a lot more grounded, you know. And I would notice the different foods that she had related to your chakras and what that chakra does in your body, and I would notice like a positive effect overall.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I think a lot of diets are promoting, you know, eat food across the rainbow. So, you know, you're eating a lot of veggies and things like that. And sometimes I think that can be hard to do if you're not a huge veggie lover, which I do like veggies, but I had never thought about associating how a specific veggie, a specific color really affects my body. And she came at it more from a spiritual perspective, also with some scientific backing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It was just, it's been really amazing for me. So I've kind of gotten over my fear of food. I've started letting, like, I know that my body knows what it wants to eat. When I sit there and I get quiet and I ask, my body knows what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need a prescription from a diet or a doctor. I don't need, you know, diet pills, anything like that. My body knows exactly what it wants and needs every minute.
Uh-huh. Are you drawn to certain colors that relate to certain chakras for you?
You know, I had just recently sent Dr. Minnick an email around green is related to your heart chakra.
Uh-huh.
And so you should eat a lot of leafy green vegetables and stuff. And I would eat salads and stuff and think, wow, I'm not feeling anything in the heart chakra right now. So I was just sending her an email kind of laughing about that I eat the leafy veggies, leafy greens, because they taste good, and I know they're doing a lot of good things for me, and I'm just keeping it in mind that this is good for my heart chakra. So that was just an example where that one I didn't feel it exactly, but there's the science behind it, you know, that eating leafy greens is good for your circulatory system and supports your heart and all of that kind of stuff. So from that perspective, I have noticed how things are impacting me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was telling Dr. Minnick that with me, when I was so sick in October, November, I was craving avocados and apples and parsley. And she said, your immune system. I said, exactly. So when I listened to my body and gave it what it was telling me it needed, I started to get better.
Yeah. You know, that's true. And I had, I've noticed that eating with the seasons also, you know, when it turns fall time, your body craves more apples, craves more oranges, citrus kind of fruits, the things that are available at that time. And then when you get into summer, you really are craving salads and things like that. So, yeah, I think there's some truth to when your body's out of health or being aligned with nature also.
Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing previously from nutritionists telling me, you know, don't eat foods that are not in season. There's a reason they have a season. And
right.
So I had to pay attention to that because I'd eat them. You know, they came from another country or they were produced, you know, somewhere genetically altered, and I wouldn't feel good when I ate them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted
them.
And
they don't even taste good. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I am learning through reading her book and through working on my health to be aware of, like you said, what does my body want?
Right.
And it, sometimes it's pretty strange what it wants.
It is. And
pay attention to it.
Yeah, you have to pay attention to it. And I've noticed when I, like, eat food that has a lot of different colors in it, like, visually it's appealing. And then, you know, so your eyes are happy to see something beautiful that has a lot of colors. And then if you get enough flavor in it, your mouth is happy, which I think is the last thing you probably should be paying attention to, is how happy your mouth is.
Uh-huh.
But then just as it goes, like, you know, down your throat into your stomach, when things are really colorful, it's kind of like you feel this energy bursting through your body. I do anyway.
Yes, I agree.
And so, yeah, it's been a great experience.
Well, good. Well, I think this is a good place for us to take a break, and when we'll come back, we'll talk about how food affects us even more. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you remember what life was like when you were young? Having the mobility and ability to play all day and then sleep through the night without needing coffee in the morning? For the majority of us, gone are those days. But they don't have to be. Transforming Health with Brad King will show you how you can awaken your youthful energy potential and live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Transforming Health is broadcast live every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness channel of Voice America. We're talking to Natalie, a woman who has successfully used Dr. Minnick's techniques to help her understand and alter the way she relates to food. Let's hear the rest of that interview. So we are here again with Natalie talking about her success of working with Dr. Minnick's program about how to heal your body and how it affects your chakras with what you eat. So what I would like to know is, how long did it take you to have the results that you were looking for?
You know, before I started working with Dr. Minnick, I had done like this really crazy, hardcore, strict diet. And so my body was pretty, like detoxed from eating a lot of sugar and stuff like that. So I noticed right away when I started working with her and started paying attention to the food that I was eating and the colors of the food, I noticed right away what was happening in my body. And I was actually completely shocked at how fast I was noticing changes and noticing how food was making me feel, because I'd never looked at food that way before.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, you know, I noticed changes right away, and then you have to give yourself time to kind of change old habits, and that's a process in itself. So even though, you know, like, yes, I noticed changes, I noticed I'm feeling great when I'm eating this kind of food, I'll notice that sometimes I get unfocused due to issues going on in my life, or I have a job where I travel a lot, so I'm on the road pretty much 4 or 5 days a week eating out all the time.
Mm.
And it's a little bit harder to, I guess it's a little bit harder to really be in touch with food when someone else is preparing it for me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge that I haven't fully mastered yet, and it's a work in progress.
Okay. Well, we all have to have something we're working on. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have you noticed that as you worked on your eating habits that it has positively affected your life in other areas, health and spirituality and other aspects?
I think, yes. You know, what it's really impacted is my relationship with, I think, and having more self-acceptance,
mm-hmm.
and not seeing my body as a, you know, that I have to deal with,
mm-hmm.
but being more, you know, the vehicle that is carrying me through this life, and I need to give it some respect,
uh-huh.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that that's the biggest part of my life that's really impacted me. And, you know, when you're feeling more secure with yourself, with your body, I think, you know, you radiate something different out to the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah. And I'll bet people have noticed.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You know, I mean, I definitely could stand to lose quite a bit of weight. And after I had worked through that process with Dr. Minnick and was feeling more grounded and in touch with myself, it's kind of like people weren't really noticing that I needed to lose weight. You know, we're commenting a lot about, oh, you're really beautiful and things like that. And that was really amazing also.
Hmm. Yes, and weight is a number.
And, it is, yes.
And that number is very subjective, because how we look at ourselves when we get on the scale is not how other people look at us.
Exactly, yeah.
And in this country, we judge people so much by that number.
Yep.
So I'm glad that you have more self-acceptance about your body, not
yep.
the number on the scale.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Mm-hmm. So what ways would you say that this has impacted you most in what areas of your life?
In my relationship with food, that's where it's impacted me most. So I look at food in a different way now. When I go grocery shopping, I think about, I try to go, okay, what do I want to eat? What would be something that's good to have in my refrigerator?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think about it with my body and make my food choices from that perspective.
Yes.
Another thing that I've been doing recently, because I haven't been traveling as much recently, is not buying groceries to last me for 2 weeks. You know, I get things that are a few days. You know, it's going to last me a few days, and then I check in with my body again, and I'm like, what do you want to eat now? So, you know, I'm spending more time really making my body count. Mm-hmm. And what my body is asking me for, I'm making it a priority to go out and get that.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things I liked when I was in New York City sightseeing and spending time there, is that you can't go get 2 weeks worth of groceries. There's no way to get it to where you're going to go.
That's so true, yeah.
And their,
yeah.
their food is so fresh wherever I
yep.
went.
Yep. Yeah, I work in New York City a lot, and that is the easiest place to go and do some, you know, be more in touch with food, because they'll cook you anything you want anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm gluten intolerant, so everywhere I go, the first thing I ask, does it have any wheat in it? And people yeah. look at me like, well, I don't know. I'll say, could you please ask the chef in the kitchen? And invariably, they'll come back and they say, well, yes, there is wheat in the soup, or, you know, there is flour. And I have to explain it and educate the wait staff because they have no clue.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think is related to our environment, that we have caused foods to be a problem for people that I don't think in other countries. Because when I went to New Zealand and to Australia, I didn't have a problem eating their food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. When I've spent time in Europe, the food's not super sweet like it is here. Like, food is way too sweet here, you know?
Mm-hmm. And too much salt.
Yeah, and way too much salt. So, yeah, that was another impact, I think, with Dr. Minnick's book, is that simplifying what you're eating, you know, not eating. I love to cook, and I love doing gourmet-type cooking. But what I found is that the more simple that you keep it with your food, the less ingredients that you're using, you really actually then get to taste the food.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get to see what it tastes like. If you put a lot of sugar and salt and stuff, you don't actually taste the food.
Mm-hmm. And I have made a point. I live by myself, and I sit down at the table and make it a pleasant atmosphere to eat.
Yes, yes. That was another practice that I worked on a lot with Dr. Minnick. And I have to say, that one I fall in and out of because I live alone. So, you know, a lot of times I'll grab something to eat and sit on the couch and watch TV, which is the worst way to eat.
Yes.
And then a lot of times I'll stop and I'll be like, okay, sit where it's quiet, where it's pretty, and the eating experience is much better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I use my good dishes and all that kind of stuff so that it's a pleasing environment, because how we feel when we eat will affect what it does to our body.
Yep. Yes. And then another practice that I had done with Dr. Minnick also was, you know, blessing your food and
yes.
being grateful for your food and the people that made the food and all of that. And I might not always pause to do like a specific blessing over my food when I shop, but I have this like gratefulness for the food and abundance that's available to me. Just like, it's just in me now where it wasn't before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that radiates through everything that I'm doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
So I know you have another commitment you need to get to, but could you tell our listeners why you would recommend that they look at this kind of issue or read her book and maybe set up a time to meet with her to talk about their eating issues?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say, I've read every diet book that there is. I mean, every single diet book. I've tried every single diet book. And Dr. Minnick's book, it's not about dieting. It's about viewing food in a completely different way that I had never considered before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written, I mean, so beautifully. It's like you can't put it down because you're just so drawn in by her writing style and the words that are on the pages. And it's very, when you're reading it, you are visualizing things and having emotions while you're reading it. So just from the perspective of pick up the book and read it so you get a different perspective on what food is.
Mm-hmm.
And then reaching out to her to work with her. One thing that was amazing for me in working with her is she was a kind of different person than me. I'm a pretty, I would say I'm like a little bit more of an aggressive type person, and she was much more, she just wasn't always like pushing me and things like that. She's a little bit more laid back, I guess.
Okay.
And so working with her helped me like relax a little bit and think about things in a different way that I don't think about things at all. Like that never ever occurred to me before. And to slow down a little bit and to not just like charge through everything. I love to just like charge through things and get it done. And to pay attention more to how I'm feeling and getting more in touch with myself. So working, I think there's a lot of people out there that are like me. We're just conditioned that way, and especially working in corporate America. So working with someone that just helps you slow it down and pay attention to what's going on is just a huge benefit.
Okay.
And it'll impact other areas of your life besides just food.
I agree, very much so. And the quiz in the book will help people to identify what they specifically need to look at, which chakra area.
Yep, that's true. That was very helpful as well.
All right. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being willing to speak to the world to tell them your story.
And it was my pleasure.
And I wish you great continued success. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now it's time to wrap up today's show. Did you hear how the foods you crave might be helping or hurting your health? Do you want to know more? Go to foodandspirit.com. That's the word and spelled out. Or buy her book, Chakra Foods for Optimum Health. Next week, Gary Bleier will tell us about his technique called Advanced Cell Training that teaches our bodies to heal itself of chronic diseases. And Dr. Mary Peterson will tell us how the technique has worked for her. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.